We're reading this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, beginning at verse 1. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourselves with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now, what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Thank you so much for reading that. And it is good to be with you. And thank you so much. I think you have had some previous contacts over many years with Kathy and others from BMS. And on behalf of BMS World Mission, I'd like to say thank you to you as a church for your support for all that goes on around the world through the ministry of BMS. And this is myself, Susanna, and Lizzie. As you saw earlier on, we are a family of five, but two of our children, Jacob is at Oxford Brookes, and Annie is over at Sheffield. They're here at university. And in January of this year, I can't quite believe we've made it back before the whole of a year is gone, but in January of this year, we went to serve in Mozambique. And I'll be saying a little bit more about that later on. So these are my family, but I want to get to know you a little bit better too. So we're going to be a little bit African about this. So normally, if you are a visitor at a church in Mozambique, then you'd be asked to stand up and say your name. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say your name, but we're going to do it in reverse order. So I want you to stand up, and if you've been here for more than 50 years, if you've been in this church for more than 50 years and you're able to stand up, would you be so kind as to stand up? Yeah. It'd be great, Bill, if you can if you could sort of stand up right to the end as well, because I'm going to ask everybody to stand up so we can see each other. But it's great that you're here. Do you know, Bill, he beats Majesty. So Majesty was 1976, so he beats that. Who's been here for more than 40 years? Anybody for more than 40 years? Whoa. You saw the introduction of Majesty. That's great. 30 years. Are we getting out with people who've been here for 30 years? Stay standing, guys, now. Stay standing. 20 years? Oh, the balcony. Obviously, the balcony is the place to be. 20 years? 10 years? for that. 5 years. 1 year or less. Come on, everybody else, you've got to be up here. Fantastic. Give yourself a big round of applause. Now, I've got to know a little bit more about you. Please do sit down now. It's all a bit random. It might sort of work itself out later on. Now, you don't know much about me. Well, I do love a good film. You know, one of those films where you get an impossible plot, a guy who never gets shot, who seems to rescue everybody who's held captive. Sometimes in those films, you'd have to get people to stand up to reveal themselves and say, "Oh, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a doctor, I'm whatever." This whole thing of being held hostage, the tension is on edge. Now, I don't have many claims to fame, but I do have one. I have appeared in an Oscar-winning film. Susanna and I were mission workers in Uganda. We lived in Kampala for 4 years, and I worked with the Ugandan Christian Lawyers Fraternity, and Susanna brought in a whole load of action teams and those sort of things. And during my time in Uganda, I had an opportunity to star in this film, The Last King of Scotland. I'm not too sure whether I can really recommend it. It's quite violent. It's about the brutal regime of Idi Amin. And it's got some beautiful scenes, actually, of Africa. We went to see it. We just arrived back into the UK. We went to see it at the cinema. And halfway through the film, the lights went out and the electric power went off, which reminded me of being in Uganda. I sat around on the floor for about 12 hours being held hostage for what amounted to 5 minutes of film. I was an Israeli pilot. And at one point in the film, you see my face like this in the whole of the screen. That is my claim to fame. I was held hostage as an Israeli pilot. But being held captive in this world is not great fun for lots of people. How many of us even feel captive to Christmas? The shopping, the presents, the food preparation, working out who's going to be where, when, what time. We might even feel that it would be quite nice to be held captive on a desert island for a little while during the Christmas celebrations. But of course, for many around the world and many in our own communities, we are captive to circumstances, to war, to terror, to food shortage, to persecution, to oppressive regimes. Those people in our communities who are held captive to alcohol, to debt, to drugs, to bad relationships, to lack of opportunities. And maybe in our own lives, we feel that we're held captive by the pace of life, by the lack of time for our family, by the lack of time to interact with our friends, to have good connectivity, because we're sucked into a social media bubble that holds us captive and often leaves us very, very unsatisfied. Being captive and being hostage is not great news for lots of people. Now, the reading we've had is from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and I want to spend some time looking at verses 7 to 10 in the context of our ministry in Mozambique, but also in the context of the season of Advent and Christmas. I've got some good news, some bad news, and some good news. It's a bit like the gospel, really. There's some good news, some bad news, and good news. Just look at these words. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. The Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. When you consider these words, they are wonderful. They are beautiful. They are full of hope. They are full of expectation. Who wouldn't want to hear these words? Words of joy, good tidings, of peace, of salvation. But in the context of Isaiah, these words come with a bit of a twist. Because Isaiah was foretelling something of good news, but he had some very bad news to say right at the beginning. You see, the bad news comes in Isaiah chapter 39, and if you have your Bibles, then you can read it and check out that what I'm saying is true. But we're told in Isaiah 39 that the prophet came to the king And the king was told that everything that he ruled over was going to be held captive and was going to be destroyed. Hear the word of the Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's quite grim. That's not good news. The king's palace would be demolished, and some of his relatives would be taken away and held captive and desecrated. But the king's reaction, too, I find pretty extraordinary. Look at verse 8 in chapter 39. Then the word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied. So far, so good. This is God's word being brought by God's prophet to the king, and he said it is good. But then he said, for he thought there will be peace and security in my lifetime. That's a little bit self-centered. In some respects, it's quite extreme. The king is effectively saying, it's not happening on my watch. What's the problem then? I have peace. I've got security. So why worry? And what's worse, if you read King Hezekiah's story in 2 Kings chapter 20, you understand that Hezekiah had just been cured of an illness and had been given a whole load more life to live. He wanted to be free himself, but didn't really have a care for others. I just want peace and security in my time. And this self-centered me attitude is where it went wrong, where it goes wrong, and where we continue to go wrong. The reason, the problem for all this, of course, is that word sin. The sin of the nation God had called his own, they had become captive to sin. They had enslaved themselves and were enslaving others because of their sin. They were arrogant. They were proud. They rejected God and his kingship. They forgot God. God, as we heard in the reading that was given to us, had released them from captivity in Egypt. But in their arrogance, they forgot it. And who did they make king? They made themselves king. Isaiah says they trampled on the poor. They wreaked injustice. They were buying up the courts with their bribes. They were neglecting the cries of the needy. They did what they wanted for themselves. They worshipped pagan gods. They oppressed the widow and the orphan. They became drunken in their consumerist society and practiced things which were against God's word. Recognize anything there? They became captive to their own self-belief and rebelled against God. And this sin resulted in their downfall. And rebellion against God leads to rejection and judgment. Because justice demands judgment. We don't like it when wrongs committed against us remain unpunished. And rightly, the God who created us cannot leave us unpunished. And the judgment for the Israelite nation was captivity and separation. This really was bad news. But there is good news. Amazingly, from the beginning of the very next chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, the voice of the prophet becomes one of what we've just read, of hope, of comfort, and of peace. In his love and mercy, God wasn't going to leave them on their own to be held in captivity indefinitely. No, because the one who holds all things together, who created everything, can do these miraculous things by his love and his mercy and his infinite wisdom. He had a plan. And the plan was to bring them out of captivity, but it was a greater plan than that. It was a plan for every person, from every tribe and every nation, to have the possibility of release from captivity, from the release from sin and from oppression. And his plan was going to cost him quite a lot. Now, I'll come back to that cost later on, because it's relevant to all of us here today. And it's relevant to us here, this good news, bad news story, for Mozambique and the place where we're serving. Because there's good news and there's bad news for Mozambique too. And the good news is that God remains sovereign. He remains sovereign over all creation. As I said, from chapter 40 through the prophet Isaiah, he brings comfort and initially does by stating who he is. The one who brought everything together says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales, or the hills in the balance? God is sovereign. He's sovereign in Mozambique. Here are the waters. We have 1,534 miles of beautiful coastline. I don't get there often enough, I have to say. We have the heavens, stunning skies across Mozambique. And southern Africa shouts creation. It's one of the most beautiful places that I've been to. The Blyde River Canyon is the third largest canyon in the world. It is just stunning, and I never knew it existed until I went there. God is sovereign, and he shouts, I reign. But there is bad news too in Mozambique. This word captive is something that I have reflected on time and time again over the last 11 months. Because, sadly, Mozambique is captive to many things. And the best way of explaining that is through the Mozambican flag. Because the colors and the symbols in this flag give you an idea of some of the things that hold it back. The yellow star is for Marxism. When the Portuguese refused to get out of Mozambique, there was a Marxist revolutionary war fought for 10 years against the Portuguese. Once they'd successfully gained independence in 1975, that led on to a civil war, which went on until 1992. It was torn apart by conflict internally, supported by Marxist revolutionaries on one side and the Soviet Union in Cuba, and by the apartheid regime in South Africa for control of the country. It's the only flag that has a modern armament on it. The AK-47 is on our flag. The struggle for independence hangs heavy. Over 1 million people were killed. Millions were displaced. Millions of unexploded landmines were in Mozambique. In the mid-1990s, when the war finally ended, it was the Somalia of today. And so the red for the fight of independence hangs heavy over this country. It's held captive to the violence and the past that are there. The number of conversations I've had with people in church who said, I was brought up in Cuba or Belarus or Russia. They were taken away as young people to be indoctrinated with the ideology of communism. There is now democratic elections and commerce happening. But that country which has a very large red flag, China, holds a huge influence over Mozambique. The hoe represents agriculture. Over 3 million smallholder farmers live and work in Mozambique. They account for 95% of the production. But sadly, 53% of the country live in extreme poverty, living on below $2 a day. And so whilst the green stands for fertile lands, when you travel around Mozambique, nothing grows. There's no infrastructure to support development. Nobody's investing in it. And so people are literally living on land which is not producing. Yellow stands for minerals, and we do have good coal mines, and we've discovered oil and gas. These bring money. Coal is the biggest export. Do you know what the second biggest export from Mozambique is? And they don't even produce it. Heroin. Because we have 1,500 miles of coastline, the easiest way for the shippers from Pakistan and India and Afghanistan is to bring it in small dhows, and it's then shipped through Mozambique and goes up through Africa and into Europe. It's destroying the country. And so black stands for the wonderful, warm people of Mozambique. They're lovely, but it's a population that is growing. In 1992, when it came to the end of the war, there were a population of 12 million. 25 years later, it's a population of 30 million. 65% are less than the age of 24, and none of them can get a job. It has the 11th worst infant mortality rate, and unemployment is sky high. The book stands for education. But 40% of the population are illiterate, and most children don't get to the age of 9 before they leave school. Having an education is a dream for most. In the second biggest city in Beira, UNICEF have just done a study of the schools, and they discovered that 60% of the classes didn't have a teacher actually teaching the children that are gathered there. So while finally white stands for peace, which the people thankfully have now, it is a fragile peace. Most people live with unjust systems in a situation of huge corruption and abuse of power. Well, that was the bad news. I'm sorry to have been so depressing for 5 minutes. But there is good news in Mozambique, really good news of peace and of happiness and of joy. And BMS and Susanna and I believe that that good news is coming through the local church. And through the local church, we are seeing the good news, the best news of all, being proclaimed. That the good news of the gospel is being told as we go through the ministries that we're involved in to tell about Jesus Christ. Now, whilst the recent communist regime and the Portuguese past mean they don't have a great Christian heritage, democracy means that the landscape is opened up for the opportunity for Christians to share the good news, the love of Jesus Christ that people are desperately searching for. I want to tell you about three different good news stories briefly now of transformation that's happening there. This is Fernando. He's one of my colleagues, and he lives and works in Beira, which is about 1,000 kilometers north of where we live in Maputo. He's the regional coordinator for AMAC, which is the Association of Mozambican Christian Lawyers. AMAC seeks to support Christian lawyers to be salt and light in their profession in the law, but it also seeks to encourage those lawyers to provide pro bono advice and legal education to people who cannot afford it, to the poor and the vulnerable, the most marginalized in society. And we do this through the local church, because the church can gather people in the words of that famous beer product, we can reach the places that other people cannot reach. And so we've developed various resources. In today's age, we can't use PowerPoint and other things. So we've got a folder with pictures in it. And we go into churches and we teach about various issues. This one is on marriage and divorce, child maintenance and domestic violence. Sadly, there's a huge incidence of violence against women, of children being left abandoned without means of support. And so what we do is we go into the church and we enable pastors and those in the community to understand the obligations and the law. But because we go into the church, it means that we give the pastors the opportunity to tell them about justice from a biblical point of view and the best justice of all, which is the justice that Jesus Christ brings. The other thing is that men and women come into the church, and through the pastors, they're able to mediate problems because people can't go to the court. It's just too expensive. But pastors are mediating and lives are being transformed. And then there's Maria and Sarah, who we introduced whilst we were talking to the children. Maria and Sarah live in Hualeni. Hualeni is a slummy area of Maputo. It became quite famous in February of this year because it even made BBC News. Not much from Mozambique makes the BBC News. This did. Because Hualeni is based on a rubbish dump. And the rubbish dump is huge. It is massive. It is just there with people living off the rubbish dump. But the rains came in February, and the people who lived under the rubbish dump were enveloped by that very rubbish dump, and 17 people died because it fell onto their homes. And Hualeni is where these lovely ladies, Maria and Sarah, live. They go to Hualeni Baptist Church. And as I was saying to the children, Maria and Sarah have this wonderful relationship with the community. But the difficulty for Maria and Sarah is that their families have no income. Sarah, who is pictured here, who is carrying a sewing machine home on her head, which is something I would never want to do, and is just amazing. She had no skills. She has a husband who has no job. She has 4 grown-up boys who have no jobs. And by learning to sew and by selling those products, she can start to bring an income in. But they also provide an opportunity then to reach out to the community around them. And neither Sarah nor Maria could sew beforehand, but these are some of the products that they are making. They've been working with Susanna since January, and they are delighted because they are receiving this money, but they want to use it as an outreach to the community to bring good news. And so these ladies at Hualeni Baptist Church are fantastic in the way that they are using skills and gifts and talents they didn't know they had to then go out into the community. And from these small beginnings, they are not only providing for their own families, but they hope to be able to provide for their communities too. And this is an expression of our faith, of course, in going out and sharing. Ooh. I wonder whether it will stick. Whether it will stick here. Can we move on to the next one? Ooh. We've stuck. Can you get it? If you can get it back to the next slide, I'll carry on. The good news. Oh, fantastic. Now, the good news of the Bible is the fact that, well, Tim Keller put it this way. Tim Keller's an author and a preacher who I enjoyed. Read his book, Generous Justice. It's fantastic. But he said, the good news of the Bible is not just good advice, helping people get out of difficult situations. The good news of the Bible is much, much more than that. The good news is groundbreaking. It's joyful. It's life-changing news. We go back to that passage, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is not just a picture of somebody telling you how to lead a better life. This is a picture of somebody coming back from a great victory saying, life is going to be different now. This is not a courier from Amazon bringing you a book saying you can be a better person by going this way. No, this is an announcement that something extraordinary has happened that you and everyone else can receive with joy. It's like somebody knocking on your door when your best friend has been held hostage and they say they're released. They are no longer captive. Somebody has brought peace and rescue and security back to their lives. That's what the gospel is. The bad news of our captivity to sin and judgment, the judgment we rightly deserved, is turned right round, because the good news is that victory has been won for us by someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. We're told in Isaiah 53 that he took on our pain, he took on our suffering. He was punished by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that we deserved was brought on him and brought us peace. And so we work partnering with the local church because we believe the good news of the gospel will transform lives for now and for eternity. We believe that lives are being transformed by people accepting Jesus Christ. It also has huge impacts on communities. It means that we can bring access to justice. It means we can help communities start to thrive through the sowing projects. But we want to work through the local church because we want them to respond to the life-transforming new good news of Jesus Christ. And so finally, I want to talk about this man, Pastor Landino. Pastor Landino is standing outside his own home. He is living in a border town called Zobwe. It's a border right up in the north between Malawi and Mozambique. He was 20 years ago living in the main town in Tete, which is the coal mining town. But the Baptist Convention sent him to this beautiful town with amazing scenery. God is sovereign there. But, in the words of Bruce Coburn with the hookers and the bums, there are street prostitutes there. There are truckers there. It's a really hard place. A border town is not a good place to be. HIV/AIDS is rampant. But that pastor has been faithfully serving for 20 years, and this is his church. It's not a mega church. He hasn't got a worship contract. He doesn't have a book to sell. He wouldn't even be known by you had I not come here today. But for 20 years, he's been faithfully serving in this border town. This is his Sunday school class in the classroom under the tree. They sing beautifully. They're very funny. This is his youth group. We couldn't take the picture inside because they have no electricity inside. And he is faithfully serving day by day in that town, telling the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a very important aspect of this picture. Can anybody tell me what it is? It's the motorbike. because from that motorbike, he is now helping other mission workers in other remote areas of Mozambique who are wanting to give the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you meet an inspirational person, and he is one of them. He asked me, too, if I could see his bank account, and here is his bank account. I was a bit afraid. I'm an Englishman, so I don't really want to talk about bank accounts. But this is his bank account. It's a little room in his house which has the grain and the beans that he grows on this patch of land. For 20 years, he has been living by faith off the land and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. BMS wants to support pastors like this so that we can help them to know about access to justice, to develop their communities. But they are there doing the job day in, day out. So we want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for all that you do here to maintain the lives of those pastors and ourselves. If you want to support the work of BMS or ourselves, there are some leaflets over here. You can also pick up the Engage magazine, which talks about my colleagues, the Justice League, and what we're doing with Access to Justice. But thank you for doing that. And we would love to know more about you too. And we're grateful for the opportunity, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you this morning. But finally, I want to bring it back to you. And importantly, the message of good news found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the coming weeks around the UK, these words will be said in lots of locations, churches, schools, even out in squares. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is good news. They have the ring of those words of Isaiah, don't they, of peace, of joy, and of salvation. But let us not be this morning or during the next few weeks a Hezekiah. Do you remember his reaction? Oh, well, things are happening out there. There's possibly people out there who may be captive, but I'm not too worried about it. Maybe the world is lost. How do we respond to the injustices that we see around us every day? Are we happy in our own peace and security? Or crucially, how do we interact with those people that we will meet at work tomorrow or down at the student halls who don't know Jesus Christ? Are we bothered? Are we happy to live in our own peace and security? I asked you to stand up. So I asked you to say, who's been here for 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, 1 year? How many times during that time have you heard these words being said? How many times have you thought about it and thanked God for what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have you felt urged by these words to go out and share the good news, to be the bringer of good news, to say victory has been won? Just as much as we are mission workers in Mozambique working alongside Pastor Landino, you are mission workers to this place. Are you sharing that news? Are you the bringer of good news, of peace and glad tidings to your communities, to your families? Or maybe you don't know the good news for yourself at the moment. Maybe you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Yes, I have mucked up. There's bad news in my life, but I'm grateful for the good news that you, Lord Jesus, have given me so much more through the price that you paid on the cross." If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, then why not do it now? I'm thankful that we can sing with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." His favor rests on us, and today we need to be thankful for that. Thank you.